We're going to talk about this morning. We're going to finish Shema. There's a lot more to say on Shema, and even within the topic that we're going to talk about today, there's a lot more to say. Due to time constraints, we're gonna talk a little bit about our last Shema topic, which is places and situations that you should not say Shema in. You have to be careful for, and some of them are gonna have suggestions how to get around it. Some of them are gonna be you can't say Shema there. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully from there we're gonna go into Shemona Esrei. We're gonna have a few shiurim on Shemona Esrei. We're gonna try to focus on not the text of Shemona Esrei. We're gonna try to focus on the halachot of Shemona Esrei, the halachic things that we're doing throughout Shemona Esrei, before Shemona Esrei, in the middle, after. We're gonna talk about kavana. We'll talk about the halachot of Shemona Esrei. So we will first finish up our topic of Shema. And that's here, the source sheets that we have here. Shema part 3. Different places or situations that are problematic. And one of the, I guess, main examples that's going to come to mind as we're going through this is a dirty diaper. Can you say Shema when there's a dirty diaper sitting next to you, or dirty diaper in the garbage, in the room? Can you say Shema? That's going to be the main example. There's going to be a few other similar examples. Well, nothing... I think so complicated, davening on the airplane next to the bathroom. We'll talk a little bit about that. Not so much about that. The status of bathrooms is not something that I really focused on, but that probably will be a shiur in and of itself, is the status of bathrooms today in halacha, whether they have the same status as they used to, whether our bathrooms are actually worse than in the times of halacha, might be worse, and they might be better. In short, what they used to do is they used to basically have some type of hole, and it was at an angle, so everything would slide far down to wherever it ultimately went. So those who say that our bathrooms are better, they say because everything's in water, it's getting flushed right away, nothing is kind of... It gets flushed and it's in water, that would mean it would be better. Some say that because in our bathrooms everything is sitting in the toilet as opposed to in the bathrooms then when everything would slide far down away, so just from the fact that it's actually sitting presently, and that would possibly... I think Rav Avadya Yosef says that it might be worse. And then there's those who say that it has the exact same status. I can try to send an article, just a brief. I'll try to remember to do that later, about the different approaches to bathrooms in the bathrooms nowadays.
What about saying Shema on the beach?
Okay, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in the second. In the second part of this, we'll talk. Remind me to use that example, okay? Remind me. Good question. Saying Shema or davening, anything on the beach. Yeah, very, very. Yeah, never occurred to me either. It never occurred to me either. It's a very good question. We'll talk about that. Okay, so the Gemaras, we're talking about now the places and situations. The Gemara in Source 1 has machloket. Itmar, reach rash yeshlo ikar. A bad smell that has the thing that's making that bad smell. Here, we're mostly going to be talking about excrement. A bad smell that the excrement is there. Rufuna Amar Marchik Arba Amot Vekorei Kriyat Shema. He says, just move away 4 Amot, and you can say Shema. No problem. Rav Chista Amar Marchik Arba Amot Mimakom Shepasak HaReach Vekorei Kriyat Shema. But Rav Chista says, it's not enough to just go 4 Amot from where the actual excrement is. You have to go 4 Amot away from where the smell reaches. The question now, Machlok, if you move 4 Amot away from the actual excrement or from the smell of it?
That could be pretty far.
Could be far. We're gonna, we'll see. Interesting situations. Mm-hmm. It smells the sewage. There's very strong sewage smells, mm-hmm. especially in Israel.
Yes.
So what do you have to do in that situation? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fairly practical. Then we're not gonna go through it inside, but each of them brings a braita that supports what they say. Rav Chisda brings a braita that says that you can't say Shema near excrement from people, from animals, really from anything, and that if it's there, you have to move 4 amot from the smell. So that's what supports Rav Chisda, who said you have to move 4 amot from the smell. And the Gemara then says that Rava says the halacha is not like that braita. He says the halacha, he thinks the halacha is, Rava thinks the halacha is like this other braita that says you just have to move 4 amot from the actual excrement. So now, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Actually, I should point out, and this is something that emerged from this Gemara, is that there's actually two elements at play here that you always need to be concerned for, if a dirty diaper situation, before we're going to get into a leniency that would exist there. The elements are the actual tsoa, tsoa means excrement, the actual tsoa, and element two is going to be the smell. Because there's going to be, those two things are going to be at play, and sometimes in a situation where maybe the excrement is in the next room, but the smell reaches you, can you still say Shema in that case or not?
The whole question then comes to, why are we doing this at all? In other words, what is the purpose behind it?
Oh, what's the problem? Good. So what's the problem? So I didn't quote, I mean, the psukim, the right. Torah says when you go out to battle, that you should cover the excrement, v'haya machanecha kadosh, so that your camp is holy. That tells us that when you're within a certain, when we could have excrement that's in what we're going to call your machana, and that's where I think the Pinim Elecha pointed this out somewhere, that's where this four amot comes from. Four amot is what we're going to define as your personal camp, your personal space, is that your space has to be kadosh. And if it's not, then you can't say things, you can't do things that have kedusha, because the pasuk says that when you go out to battle, you have to take a shovel so that you can go out of your camp and you can cover your excrement so that it's not
right,
there.
But the whole point is, in other words, it's okay. So you, let's just go by that rule that you have to move for amot. But if the smell is still there, in other words, that's what I'm saying. So in other words, what are we trying to just say? Okay, well, I'm four amot away, so that's it. I'm good. Yeah, you know, too bad. The smell's still there.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
So now the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchot Kriyat Shema Siman Ayin Tet Sif Aleph, Haytat Soat Adam Me Acharav Tzarech Laharchik Dalet Amot Mimakum Shakala Hareach. You have to go four amot from the place that the smell stops. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The smell is going to be a problem. Move. You have to move four amot from the smell. Afilu yesh lachol ishenu mariach. Even if you have some issue with your nose and you can't smell, you still have to go four amot from where that smell would have been. Like, you know, just look where everybody else is going and join them. And the Shulchan Aruch says, and these are mostly things I think that come from the Gemara. He says, if it's in front of you, then as long as you could see it, it's a problem. These halachot. The halachot, if it's behind you, then you move four amot away from the excrement, right? Milafanav tzarich laharchik malei einav, afilu balayla, she'enu roeh ota tzarich laharchik ad makom she'enu yachol lirot bayom. In the daytime, you have to, you can't see it, you can't, I didn't look so much into the reasons why, maybe, if as long as you could see it, we would call that your machana. Maybe we could suggest that. If it's in front of you, as it's 100 feet away, but you see that there's tsoa on the ground, so that we're going to call that your machana. You would not be able to say Shemar, do anything like that. Once it's behind you, then you can go for amot from the smell. And if it's on your side, then it's like it's behind you. If it's on your side, as long as you just move four amot the other way, then you're okay.
So what do you do if you saw it over there?
If you for sure see it and it's in front of you, then turn around. Now it's behind you. Now it's behind you. If you can't smell it, then you should be okay. This is actually gonna. We're gonna talk about a lot of the practical situations here. Sometimes you're walking to shul and you're davening, you're saying bracha, whatever. You walk right past the garbage. That's going to be a likely problem because they smell, and the smell is coming from excrement or other. I mean, I think the posts can generally expand this to any foul smells are going to be a problem. So you really would have to, if you're far enough away, even if it's in front of you for the garbage at least, we'll see when we get to it, but it's far enough away from you and you don't really smell it, I think that's fine. Yeah, you can't see anything. It's technically, it should definitely be okay based on what we'll see in a second. But once you get close to it and you can start to smell it, then you would have to, you gotta be a little careful there. Okay, so this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. And then the Shulchan Aruch gives an example of a Shliach Tzibor. This goes back to a slightly different era, different time when the Shliach Tzibor was davening on behalf of everybody. If the excrement was, let's say, 25 feet behind him, and he couldn't smell it. But the people around it could smell it. You have to stop, because for them, they're smelling it while they're trying to fulfill their davening through the Shliach Tzibur. You'd have to stop and remove him. Okay. So, this is what the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Aleph. In Sif Bet, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Hayta b'malkum gavoa asar tfachim o namuch asar." If it's 10 tfachim above you or below you, like, or we're getting to the, it's in a different room, something along those lines. Oh, he says, "O shayta b'vayit echa v'hu b'vayit acher." It's in a different house. Or, I mean, we're not talking different style of houses here. The example could be it's in a different room. Afilu hapedach patuach v'yoshev etzidavoreo ta'imein l'arech yachol ikro. If it's in another room, at least according to the first opinion here, if it's in another room, you could say Shema, because we have no problem v'hayamachanecha kadosh, because that room is that room and your room is your room, and there's no smell, so now you should be able to say it if it's in the other room and there's no smell. It's in another room, so we're going to say that's machanecha kadosh. Your room is clean. Your room doesn't have a smell. Therefore, you could say Shema in your room. That's leharash. That's what the Rush thinks. He quotes this as a machloket of leharashba davka kisheino ro'e'ota. For the Rashba, even if it's in another room and there's no smell, but if the door is open, let's say, and you can see into the room, for the Rashba, it would be a problem. For the Rush, it wouldn't. And, right, this is what we said before. If there's a smell, it doesn't really matter that there's a door in between. There's two issues here. Issue one is it within 4 amot of you? And issue two is, does the smell reach you? If the smell reaches you, it doesn't matter that you close the bathroom door.
That's what I was getting at. So it's just a big deal. So, okay, this is even more so. In other words, before it was just moving 4 amot. Okay, this is even worse. It's in another room, but you can still smell. So what is our purpose? You have to do something then.
Yeah. So you have to, okay. Yeah, you have to okay. Wait a few minutes for the smell to go away or move away. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so now, he quotes the Yesh Orim also that the closed door might be an interruption for it. He quotes that also, but yeah, we'll see in the Pinyin Halacha what he says. Okay, so now the question is going to be thinking about diapers here. There is a rationale that would potentially let you daven if there was a diaper nearby, and that is based on the Shulchan Aruch in Source 3 and from Siman Ayin Vav Sif Aleph. Soa be'ashashi mutar likrot kineg da afa bisharaa ota derech dafnoteha mishum de bekisoi talarachmana dichti v'chisita tzeyatecha v'ham mitkasya. If you have excrement covered up with like a glass bowl or something like that, it's covered, you could say Shema right next to it, even though you could see because it's glass, right? You have, but because the Torah says v'chisita, the Torah tells you should cover the excrement. That's already a good enough cover that we're gonna. I think the way the Mishnah Brura explains it, I don't remember if it was here or elsewhere, is that it's enough of a separation of a machane of us. You made it into a different reshut. You kind of did that. I mean, we're not gonna extend that. We're not going to send that as full as you as far as you could, but you kind of made it into a separate issue. So now, if you have excrement and it's covered, you could say Shema, provided that what? No smell. Right. Provided that there's no smell.
Right.
In reality, we have no issue with the physical presence then.
If it's covered.
The diaper is usually folded.
Yeah, and on the body or on the kid's body. Yeah.
Right.
A lot of times diapers leak and a lot of other issues that might be problematic. But for the most part it should be fine, but if you smell it, right? So that's gonna be.
Okay.
And on here the Mishnah Brura tells us in Bet, in source 4 Bet, Da debechol halachot elu ad siman peichad v'chein l'inyan isur erva. Now we're going to talk about the beach later on, but for everything that we're talking about now, kemoshe kadav shenizkar din l'inyan kriyashma bein l'inyan heder bein l'inyan isur who lav davka kriyashma. This is not only for kriyashma we're talking about. Du adin Torah v'tfila v'chol inyanei kedusha u'bein shomrim b'lashon kodesh bein shomrim b'lashon mechol. We're talking here Shema, Shmones, right? Talmud Torah. Every inyani kedusha, he doesn't say bracha, presumably bracha, right? We're talking here, even though the Shulchan Aruch puts these halachot into Kriyat Shema, these don't only apply to Kriyat Shema, these apply to everything.
Benching would be obviously your most common.
Right. Shabbos afternoon, you're going to bench, and you have kids in diapers, yeah. We'll talk about it also in a few minutes, whether you probably have to check those diapers. Or something along those lines. We're gonna talk about the obligation to check for excrement before davening or before doing something like that. And the Mishnah Berurah in Gimel says what we pointed out a minute ago also, that when it's the excrement is covered, that you're allowed to daven. In Gimel he says, "Im magilo reach ra aser." If there's a bad smell, then you can't, because we have both of these elements. And he says, even according to the opinion in the Shulchan Aruch that said a separation, right? That we mentioned a minute ago that the Shulchan Aruch said that if you close the door, there is an opinion that says you could still say Shema even though there's a bad smell. He says that doesn't apply here because it's less of a separation, right? There's a difference between closing a door and closing a room and making that a whole separate reshut versus taking a little glass or a little thing and turning it over and making a smaller kind of thing. So. Okay, so this is, if the smell reaches you, then you would not be able, even if it was covered. So I was listening to a shiur or something, I think I was listening, and the shiur that the person said that he asked whoever he asked, and the plastic bags have the same status. A plastic bag is the same thing as what the Shulchan Aruch here says, ashashi. That was more of like a glass kli, but really, as long as it's covered, a clear plastic bag, you can still see through. So this would be the people that have dogs and then have to clean up after their dogs, right? That's it, that's covered and closed. If the smell reaches you, then you would not be able to daven or to do anything. But if the smell doesn't reach you, then even if it's there, you could still daven. Okay. Yeah, question? Okay. So now, what about, do you need to check? Do you need to check if there's a problem? So the Shulchan Aruch says the next source in Simon Ayin Vav Siv Zayin, Sofek Im Tsoa Babayit, Mutar Likrot, Decheskat Bayit Shein Basoa. If you're not sure, you have a doubt in your house, then there's a chazaka, there's a status that your house has that houses don't usually have excrement. Therefore, if you just sat down, you woke up, you went, you sat down on the couch, and you started to say bracha, you went to bench, you wouldn't have to check because your house has a chazak, has a presumed status that it's clean. If you have little kids, that's probably not going to be the case. And something so ba ashba, but if there's a doubt whether the so is in the ashba, I think he probably was talking a different time period when they didn't have bathrooms and stuff like that. Basically, if there's a place that you might have expected to find soa, then there's a chazaka that it has it, and then you would need to check. And if there's a place that you presume you shouldn't have it, then you can presume that it doesn't have. And the Shulchan Aruch says, and what happens if you didn't check and see if it had kara b'makom shareli stapik b'tsoa? If you went to whatever the place was, there's a chazaka. You have kids running around. You have a chazaka, some type of chazaka that there should be some type of tsoa present. Not necessarily here in a diaper. Like it fall if it leaks from diapers. If whatever reason you have a cat or a dog and. There's a litter and they go to the bathroom. If for whatever reason you have some type of reason to think that, and you didn't check, you just went and you davened or you did something there, and afterwards you found that there was soa there, that there was excrement, you have to go back and say Shema. You didn't fulfill the Shulchan Aruch says you didn't fulfill your obligation. Why that is interesting. He quoted a pasuk about something along the line of sinners not their mitzvah not. They're not doing mitzvot or something like that, but that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. That if you should have checked and you didn't, and it turns out that there was tzoa there, then you have to go back and say Shema. But if it's a place that you shouldn't have normally expected it, and you daven, and then afterwards you realize, oh no, there's tzoa here, then in that case, then it was okay. then you would not have to go back to repeat it. So now we're going to see in the Panini Halacha, and we're going to talk about probably mostly practical situations that come from the Panini Halacha. So in Surah 6, he says, Aser loma ole harher dvarim shebektusha b'malkum shesh botsoa o shar dvarim asrichim. You cannot either say or think dvarim shebektusha if there is excrement or other smelly things there, shenemar vishafta vichisita etzayatecha, that you should go back and cover up the excrement. Ki Hashem Elokecha mitalech bekerv machanecha. Here's the pasuk, because Hashem goes in our camp. Vihaya machanecha kadosh. B'din ze yeshnam pratim rabim v'nilman miktzatam. So there's a lot of details, and here we're going to learn some of them. Kol hanimsa b'toch dalet amot. So here's, we're going to review what we just said. Kol hanimsa b'toch dalet amot shel adam nechshav bichlal machaneyu. If it's within 4 amot, 2 meters, that's like it's in your camp. Lefichach im yeshna tzo b'toch dalet amotav ein machaneyu kadosh. If you have tzo in your 4 amot, you're not in a, we wouldn't call your machane, your camp, your enclosure, holy. And you can't dive in there. And if the tzoa is, you could see it, then it's also usher to dive in there. And if the smell goes, you have to move 4 amot from the smell. And even if you can't smell it, if the smell is there, you need to move. That's going to make your place to be not kadosh. So now turning to the top of the next page, he also quotes that just like human excrement is a problem, so too other things that smell really bad are a problem too. Okay, next paragraph. In the second paragraph down. Kara kriyat shema ohit palel b'toch dalet amot shel tzoa lo kiyem et mitzvato ve'alav lachzor v'likro kriyat shema v'lipalel. If you said kriyat shema in a place that had excrement, you didn't fulfill your obligation. Even if it's a place that you didn't know had it, but strong likelihood that there would be something there, like we said, like the if you have a pet or for whatever other reasons that there's a likelihood that there should be tzoa there. Feed Rachel, and you were lazy. You didn't fulfill your obligation. And if it's a place where very likely there was clean, and it turns out that you ended up finding something, then that's okay. Okay, so here, look in footnote 10, skipping to footnote 10, and then we're gonna. It says, "Kasher hareach mitpashet lirashut acheret, o kishatsoa mechusa, kidugmat socha bitoch chitul." If the smell, this is what we said, if there's a smell, even if you covered it, there's a problem. And his example that he gives is a diaper. If there's a smell that's coming from the diaper, then you wouldn't be able to dive in there. And he says, we actually didn't talk about this. Let's say you covered it with the glass, some type of glass cover, or it's in a diaper. The excrement is covered. Okay, so therefore, from the machanecha kadosh, you're fine because it's not in your encampment, but you could smell it. We said before that when the excrement is physically there and producing a smell, you have to move 4 amot from the smell. Now, what if in this case we view the excrement as not really being there because you covered it up? Do you still have to move 4 amot from the smell, or can you just go to the point where the smell stops in the case where it's covered? Should I say that again? In this example, it's a machlokas rishonim. If there's something on the table, some excrement or like or nevela, something that smells really bad here. Usually, if the thing is present, you can't just move 4 amot from it. You can't just move till the smell stops. You have to move 4 amot from the point where the smell stops. But now, let's say we covered it up, and the smell goes to here. Do you need, because we covered it up, it's kind of like we made it into a different encampment. Do you need to move just to the place where the smell stops? Or even in the case where it's covered, you have to move 4 amot from the place that the smell stops?
We have two separate things. The covering is really not
relevant. What do you mean?
You have two separate inyanim. You have two separate issues. There's the physical, there's the actual, there's visual.
Yeah.
And then there's a smell.
Okay.
So the visual is not even relevant if we're discussing smell.
Right. So the I mean, that's the question. The question is how far do we take the fact that it's not present?
No, but it's not relevant. I'm saying, because if it's the smell is the issue, you said before we have to be 4 amas from the end of the smell.
Right.
So the visual is not relevant. Because it could be on that end of the room and it could smell from over here, so you have a problem.
The visual isn't necessarily a problem. The fact that the excrement is there is the problem.
Physical presence.
Took care of the physical presence by covering it up.
So the odor is not an independent issue then. But if this is Machlokas then, the odor is not an independent issue.
Is there a scenario that there would be an odor that doesn't have a source? All odors have sources. It's just
source?
The question: the sources are just not present sometimes.
Luckily, it's not present because it's blocked.
Right, right. The question is, how far do we... I mean, we saw in the Mishnah Brura where he said that even according to the opinion that says normally if you close the door and there's still a smell, even according to the opinion that says that that's okay, would not allow that by covering it. The covering it is a more limited kind of getting rid of a source of a smell. I think that's...
Is that, or is it because the covering is it's just something that's disgusting to look at? What's the problem with covering?
I think
because you have two issues. It's something disgusting to look at versus the matter, because you can have something disgusting to look at and have no odor potentially.
I don't think there's a problem being disgusting to look at, because even if the covering was clear, that's okay. You can cover it with something clear and see through it.
The visual aspect is not relevant.
The visual aspect is relevant. I mean, it's relevant when the thing is there and it's not covered, because then we're going to say, as far as you
right,
can see it.
We just said if it's covered, then the visual aspect is obviously still there if it's covered with a clear glass.
Right, it's still there, but you created it into a different machane. Or you somewhat
right,
created
right.
it into a different machane.
So the point is, so the visual part is not relevant then, because it's the actual it's the location.
I would call it in that case, yeah, I guess you could say the physical presence is not relevant.
Physical presence.
That's what I would say.
Relevant.
That
it,
when you covered it, the fact that it's physically next to
right.
you is not relevant,
right.
regardless of whether you could or could not see it. Because we're going to consider that the
it's
a somewhat equivalent of closing the door, but much more limited than closing the door. Because it's not like you just took a little bit of a cover. It's still in the same room. It's still next to you. It's still there. You just took a minimal covering and you covered
it. There,
consider it's not there to a limited yeah. The question is, I think the question here is, how do we consider it not there entirely, or do we consider it to be not there in a more limited sense? That's what I think. Right, here, let's see how he explains the Rishonim here, and then maybe that'll fit into what we're talking about. So in the footnote 10 in right before source 7, he says in the middle of the line, La Rashba ein zerach laharchik dalat amot mivneishu who knechshav kerech rasha ein lo ikar, a reach ra that has no source for it, that we view it as totally not being there, then you don't have to move 4 amot from the smell, right? He views it as being totally not there. Ulerokeach who reach rasha yesh lo ikar. So, and according to the rokeach, the other rishon, we consider. I guess here, let's say precisely, what is the reach? Let's not focus on the thing that's covered. What kind of reach is it? The thing that's covered, we said there's two things, that it's present, and then there's the smell. We got rid of the fact that its presence by covering it. Now, what kind of reach do we have here? Do we have a reach that is attributed to something that's present? Or do we have a reach that's attributed to something that's absent? Even though the thing in front of us, we're going to consider that to be absent. But now we're not focusing on the excrement on the table. We're focusing on the reach that comes from it. And are we going to say, draw a line here, cut this whole thing off? There's a reach that's coming out this way. Is this reach something that source is present from over here? Or do we view that it's coming, the source is not present? So the Rashba says we view it as the source not being present. Once we covered it, we totally, it was like we took that source out of the room.
So covering is the same thing as distancing yourself then. Because if I go to the next room, if you went to the next room,
If we went to the next room and there was still a smell, it would still be a problem.
I'm thinking of the kibbutz.
We'll talk also.
It's a major issue.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Because the odor is there. It's all, I mean,
not for them. It's not for
them. If you live there, if you're a guest, you go, you know,
yeah.
It goes and comes. I mean, you may be here, and you know this all the time, but all of a sudden.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you have wedding halls all the time.
Yeah. He mentioned that, and he said something interesting that I didn't fully understand, so we'll come to that. Maybe somebody here can help me understand it. Okay, so this.
Have you been an air freshener?
we'll talk. Yeah, yeah.
Wedding hall smells.
Sometimes if you have these on a kibbutzim, if you have an outdoor
it's
wedding,
it's very interesting. And then you're making all the brachot for the wedding,
yeah.
The shevet brachot, the benching, davidav marv there. Yeah,
the smell from the kibbutz.
The smell, yeah.
From the cows. Cows smell.
Yeah,
there's no getting around it.
Move it.
So he quotes in this case, he quotes that Rav Avadia Yosef says we can be makil, and he thinks that Lamaisa, it's good to be machmir. It's good to be machmir that even if the smell is coming from another room, to go for, at least when you can, to go for amot from the smell, even though you could be makil there and just go to the point where the smell stops. That's when it's covered, yeah. So now, practical examples. In Source 7, a lot of practical examples. One, in the first paragraph, Kishemit Pali Yosheva Omed Upanov Mul Shirutim. If you're davening facing the bathroom, Im HaDelet Skura Ve'ein Magia Elav Reach Rami Shirutim. So now, if the door is closed and there's no smell, so thou Mutter Lo Hipalo Sham. You could daven there. So on an airplane, right? So I don't know why I guess that's because that's where there's a little bit more space. You are always davening near the bathrooms, so there sometimes it smells. I think, there's a real problem. You have to move. In that case, maybe we could say be more makil because to move four amo from the point of the smell, you're already halfway down the aisle. So maybe just go to the point where the smell stops. But if there's a smell that's coming there. Then yeah, it's a problem to take note of when you go to Switzerland. That's something to remember. Vima della Pitu.
Got two boats in the bag.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. In the next paragraph, he tells us something. We'll do the next paragraph outside. Something very interesting that we didn't really define it. But at which point it's an interesting. At which point are we going to call something to be excrement specifically for little kids, for babies? So really, la halacha, it's only when the point when they're able to eat a sufficient amount of real food that we would even call it soa in the first place. So for the first 6 or 8 months, even if there's an open, dirty diaper next to you, we would not call that excrement because the kid's not eating, the baby's not eating real food yet. But the Pnei Halacha still says that it's good to move away from it. If you happen to not, or whatever the situation is, then that would be okay because we're not going to call that to be tzoa. Okay, next paragraph is about the diaper. Kishem mipalalim b'malkom sheish botinok ben shana umala she'oset tzrachan v'chintul. When you're davening in a place, or this could be relevant if you want to take your kid, grandkid, neighbor, whatever, into shul that's a little baby, you want to take them to see the Torah, you have a kid who has a diaper. Roi levada tchila she'ein yotze mimenu reach ra. There's not going to be a problem for having the soa, the excrement in there because it's covered. What's going to be the problem from the diaper? It's going to be the smell. The smell. So if there's you have a kid and the kid has a dirty diaper and it smells, so then either I don't put him in another. You go into another room, put the kid in another room, or change the diaper, because otherwise, inevitably, you're going to be in the middle of davening, and the kid is going to wander over to you with his bad-smelling diaper. And same thing like we just said, you got to bring a kid into shul, do something like that, make sure that there's not a smelly diaper. Right, v'choz man she'en yotzei mimenu reach ra, mutar l'hitpalel liyado. As long as there's not a bad smell, you could daven, because it's covered. That's what we said before. Okay. Now, next paragraph. Le'itim koreshe biyuv ha'samoch le'beit ha'gneset mafitz reach ra l'toch beit ha'gneset. Sometimes the sewage, the smell, comes into shul. Ve'azai osur lam chidchi palav beit ha'gneset. What happens when the smell comes in? You can't daven anymore. It smells really bad. So lifamim, so this thing, he gives practical. So he says, sometimes, skirat ha-chalonot ha-ponim el ha-biyuv toil. Sometimes, you close the window and the smell will go away. This is what Avram said before. And if it still smells bad, so then take a spray, do something that's going to make your shul smell nice because of the sewage. In the past, they used to burn clothing. I think from the Gemara even. There's some type of incense with the clothing or something along the lines. It was an older way of making the nicer smell. If you have a problem in shul where it smells really bad, then you'd have to open the windows or close the windows or do whatever you can to get the smell to go away. And now we're going to come to the kibbutz case. I think it's here. Yeah, here. The Niyareh Shedin Reich Rad, this is a very interesting paragraph. Three up from the bottom. The Niyareh Shedin Reich Tali Behergelem HaMukubalim Eitzel B'nei HaMakom. The status of bad smell depends on the people in the place, right? Different places smell differently. And even in the past, Shekain B'Avar Hashfachim Kolel Hatzol Me Raglayim, in the past, the sewage would have all this excrement and urine. V'hayuzormin B'tzideh HaRachovot. And it was like, you know, the bedpans, whatever. It was like just going on the sides of the street. He said, he doesn't have a source for this historically. Just it's for sure that the smells used to be really bad in almost every place because all the waste they were throwing right into the streets, it was crowded, there was a lot of waste, and a lot of people, and it smelled really bad. And still they would daven in places near the gutter, near the sides of the streets. They would be davening in places that would have bad smells. How could they do that? This just became their normal smell. It didn't smell bad to them. It just became the regular smell. A regular smell to them is not considered to be a reach ra. The reach ra would have to be something worse than the regular smell. And only if for some reason the gutters really clogged up, or in the summertime it used to be worse, from the heat. In the summers they would have a problem. They would have to figure out what to do for davening when it got really bad. But otherwise, when it was just regular, so then when the smell wasn't reaching the shul, that's when they used to daven. And now, aval kayom shehashvachim mit nakzim ayde tzinor tabiyuv. Nowadays, when our the sewage goes down the drains, ha'avir mitohar yoter, the air is purer, the air is cleaner, va'anu regishim yoter l'rechot ra'im. So we're more sensitive to these smells, and what that's going to mean is that when there's those bad smells, if somebody from 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago would be going a time machine, they would have, they for them, not an issue. For us, it is an issue. When it smells bad, according to our time and our age and our days, that's when we cannot daven there. Next paragraph. So now the kibbutz, the yishuvim that have smells, hareach shemagim ehem lebatim ulebeit hakneset, eino nechshav einem kireach ra. That's not a reach ra. That's their regular life. That's what they always smell. Actually, I remember when I went near Keren B'Avne, I think, was it there? Yeah, there's some type of farm there, and that was the first time I remember being like, that's a really bad smell. I did not appreciate that smell. And this is the interesting part that I don't fully understand. Sorry, the next line we'll just do this line. A smell like this in the city is going to be a reach ra. If you take a farm smell and you're able to transport it to the city, that's a problem. And if that smell, it smelled like that, you brought the cows to the city, then you brought the cows here outside the shul, then for all of us, we would not have been able to daven here this morning. And this is the part that I don't understand. The visitors go by the minhag hamakom. That it makes sense, but for you it really bothered. I guess it makes sense. That's what you're saying. Define it based on. Yeah. based on the area and the people involved. Yeah, but still for you, it's a bad smell.
But
that's
it's
funny.
Not, but it's really the same thing as you said before. Even if you if there's a bad smell and you don't smell it, it's still you still have to move away.
You're so saying
it's
say,
not,
ah.
It's not a, what's the word? It's not objective.
It's not subjective. Ah, I hear that. Interesting. I mean, I would think that it's subjective l'chumra, meaning that even if you can't smell it, but it's there for everybody else, you'd have to move away. And if it's really smelly for you, you'd have to move away. But I guess here's what we're going to say. We're going to say here at the end of the day, it's not up to you at all because there's a din in the gavra, a din in the chavta. It's not a din in the person. It's a din in the place. It's a din in the smell. The smell is coming from something. So if everybody in that place is going to be, well, magdir, is going to define the smell of the cows as not being a problem, then when you go to them, they're already decided that's not a problematic smell. I think that could be what we say. Yeah. So if you're ever, if you ever go to a farm for the weekend, right, you wouldn't have a problem, but if the farm came to you, then you have
like
to...
Abraham's solution is carry on the spray like in the Greek wedding, like with the Windex.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and this was largely the smell topic. Any questions? Again, two things. There's a problem when there's actual excrement there, and then there's a problem when there's a smell. So if both of those are present, that's a big problem. If probably the more common situation is going to be that there's going to be the smell without the... Oh, did we? We might have skipped it, because I think he also had like a garbage can example. Oh, yeah, it's the last paragraph here. Hamipalim b'chut tzrichim lizar shelo lihipalim b'kirvat pachei ashpa shereicham ra. If you're davening outside, then you got to be careful for the smell coming from the garbage. So he says and he says even the avkish. This is interesting. Even if there's no smell at all, he says you should still move. I didn't look this up. You should still move 4 amot from them. That I'm not sure why, because you say that it's covered. It's inside an enclosure and
Vesekava. Near garbage. Stand right next to a garbage can and just doesn't seem appropriate.
There's a separate halacha about not davening with garbage can. Is that okay? Yeah, maybe. So the smell is going to be the usual bigger issue. If the source is covered, so then we had the machloket. You should still try to move 4 amot from the end of the smell, even when the source is covered. And if you're in a place where you should check, like you'd have expected there to be a smell, then you probably should like the Panini Lecha said for the diapers. If you're going to take your kid into shul, make sure that there's no smell coming from his diaper, because that's going to create a problem for you or for everybody else. The same thing if you're at home and you're benching, you should. And you try to make sure that there's no... you don't have to go crazy, or if the kid's in the other room and you know that they're playing a game that they're going to be there for 15 minutes, like you don't have to get up, to, you know, to go into the other room to check. But if they're running around and everything like that, and certainly... If you have some type of feeling that the kid that your kid might have made or grandkid might have made, so then you probably should check or do something to make sure that you're going to be able to bench without an interruption. Okay, next similar related topic is going to be davening. We said Shema Shmona Esrei, davening, learning Torah, anything like that near erva, near some type of nudity, some type of uncoveredness. And this was your beach, right? Davening on the beach. It's a good example. Can you do that? So source 8, there's also, this probably is more of a shir in and of itself, this is a shir. We're only going to do the bottom line here for the Panine Halacha, but there probably would be a shir, much more developed shir on the topic. So in the bottom of the page, source 8. Aser lomar dvarim shebikdusha mul erva. It's aser, it's forbidden to say something near erva. Shenemar v'haya machanecha kadosh v'lo yireh becha ervat davar v'shav me'acharecha. Your camp should be holy, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't see an erva davar, something inappropriate, some type of erva, and turn away. Ulagabe. So now, practically. Ulagabe gever sheroa gever acher o isha sheroa isha acheret. If men are together, or women are together, Then rak bifnei malkom ha'erva atzmo asur lomar devarim shebikdusha. Only if corresponding to the private part, that's going to be the only problem. Okay, if the person is totally naked, then you could not say anything. But as long as they are covered below from the waist down, then if men with men and women with women, men among men and women among women, then they could say then they could daven. Aval legabe gever sharoa isha. If there's, beach could be a totally separate issue in general going to the beach. But if there's a man that sees a man amongst women, amru chachamim tefach isha be'erva. Chachamim said even one lit tefach is considered to be an erva. V'kavanatam shekol malkom shenashim regila lechaso. Any place that's normally covered. If a place that's normally covered is uncovered, then you could not say Dvarm Shebikdusha. You could not, if you were, for whatever reasons, like I said, the beach, should ask questions about going to the beach. I'm not going to make, assuming you're,
tread lightly.
For whatever reason, you're already there. Theoretically, somebody else is there.
Lost.
Yeah. You would not be able to. We'll see in a second how in an extenuating circumstance why you could, but at the basic level you could not say anything if there's women around that part of them is uncovered that's normally covered. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's going to be a caveat there. Okay. And skip the next. skip the. We'll talk about that example. It's nowadays how people wear things. A lot of dress codes are different than what we're talking about here. We'll talk about that in a second. Skipping to the next paragraph. V'chein legabe sear harosh. Same thing with hair. Uncovered hair. Amru chachamim sear beisha erva. Uncovered hair is also considered to be an erva. V'kavanatam li'isha nesua, they're talking about a married woman. She'im eina mechasa et seyar rosha, ein lo mar mulo dvarim shebikdusha. They're talking about a married woman that if her hair is uncovered, you should not say dvarim shebikdusha. So that also has changed a lot. So we'll talk. He talks about that also.
Are we quoting from there now?
This is Pinin Halacha.
Pinin Halacha,
yeah.
He's saying it is an erva.
The Chazal say it's an erva. Yeah, Chazal say it's an erva. I think the question hair covering in halach is also probably multi-topic, a multi-shear topic. Which part of this? The whole sayar, like what parts of hair have to be covered? Midaraita, midarabanan. I think there's a lot of shear on Wayu Torah. I think on this topic and related topics. Okay, so what we have now is if there's a tefach, which is not so big, a tefach of an area that's usually covered, that's uncovered, or uncovered hair, then you should not say Dvarim Shebikdusha. So now, with some caveats. In next paragraph, Hatzarech le'palal o levarech brachot o lilmo Torah. Now, what happens if you need to daven or say a bracha or learn? You're on the bus, right? And you want to learn Daf Yomi. You want to say Tehillim. You want to do something. You're a lot of times there's situations that are not that you can't avoid, but you also you're hungry and you want to eat your snack and you have to say a bracha and you're at the mall. What do you do? L'charchila yifne atzmo l'chivun acher. So turn around, if you could. Turn around so you don't see anything. And if you can, kach shelo yuchal yorota. Ve'im eino yachol yistovev, you're sitting on the bus, yabit besidur o yatom et eino v'yomer dvarim shebikdusha. Then, look, if you have a sefer, hold it closely. If you close your eyes, don't look. If we're talking here about one of the something that's usually covered that's uncovered. Ulgabe kisui harosh katvu kama achronim shahoyel ulitzareinu nashim rabo ina mechazod et roshan. So the poskim say that nowadays a lot of women don't cover their hair. Sayar she'eno mechusa eno meorer hirurim. It's not going to cause problematic thoughts. Uvidi avad efshar lomar mulo dvarim shebikdusha. So B'diavad, if you're in a situation and somebody's hair is not covered, you have a guest, whatever, you could say Devarim Shebekdusha, you could say a bracha, you could daven, you could say Shema, you could do all those things. But hair is probably going to be slightly different than other areas, because Shekein Matzino She Rivakot Einan Chayav L'Chasoto. He says, at least for Ashkenazim, single women don't have an obligation to cover their hair. So already you're talking about something that is just a lot of people don't cover their hair, so hair is going to be a bit more lenient. But areas that are normally covered, that here there's somebody present and those are uncovered, then ein lahakel, then you really shouldn't be makel, and only in a shat tadchak you could close your eyes or look away. So if somebody, people have uncovered hair, then okay, so you can do everything. You don't have to look away. You could really bench, dive, and do whatever you want to do. But if there's areas that are normally covered and they're uncovered, like a beach example, like a lot of. In the summertime, a lot of other examples. So then, really, you should try to avoid making a bracha if you can't, or whatever.
Like visual contact.
If you can't, then you could turn. Then you could avoid the visual contact. That's yeah.
So ideally, you shouldn't be making the bracha if you're.
That's what. Yeah. Yeah, he says, "Ein lahakel." If you're right, if it's in your line of vision,
If
it's in your, if you can see it, that's going to be the. Right. If you can see it, right. So turn around. You can always
visual
right,
is always the issue,
right?
Which
right.
is always a way to get. I mean, just look at look elsewhere.
Right. Right. That's yeah.
This. I have a big issue on an airplane. I mean, for sure, there's nowhere you're stuck there. So.
It's actually funny how the airplane has a lot of the examples. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what are you. I mean, what are you going to tell you? Don't take out your safer for 11 hours, sitting close your eyes.
Right.
So yeah, so look, keep the subways in New York. All I remember. I remember talking about this with my friends years ago. The subways in New York City in the summertime.
Right.
It's really.
I think it's more of an issue today with the women. I know this is talking about their hair, but the way the women dress in the summer.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, there's issues of histaklut, of looking at it. Here we're specifically talking about davening, learning, etc. So sometimes, yeah, really, you there's situations that you can imagine that you should not take out your sefer and learn if you can't for whatever.
So I'm thinking it's just the opposite.
But
you should be focusing on your sefer.
Yeah. Okay. So these were our. Actually, this ended up taking a whole shiur. This was the final topic of Shema, about problematic places and fairly practical situations that come up. God willing, next time we will talk about Shemona Esrei. We'll do that as a two or three part series.